to Fitfluential Radio, the intersection of fitness, health, wellness, and modern medicine. 50% education, 50% motivation. We're here to help you find your fitness. Tune in weekly for interviews with some of the most respected and experienced names in the business, providing actionable insights for you in every episode. Thanks for tuning in today. Let's roll. Welcome back, everybody, to part two of this two-part episode with Amy Schultz, Smart Girl Money Coach. If you haven't listened to part one, I do encourage you, strongly encourage you, to go back and listen to part one before continuing on to part two. Relationship with money, yeah, figure out what's your bad habits, what are your tendencies, and figure out the why. Because to what you said a second ago, Amy, you can read all the Dave Ramsey books. I can't tell you, if you guys were in my office right now, you would see so many books on finances, getting your shit together. Has it worked for me? No, I'll be real with you guys. It's only been the last 2 or 3 years that I have, you know, become very empowered with controlling money, increasing money, understanding money flow, not being scared of credit, credit scores, debt. You know, it, look at it like it can, I'm not lying. It can actually become a fun challenge, like to get into a position where you're like, you can make your money work for you. And if you get into a hole, it's just another challenge. Look at it like a weight loss challenge. Like this is, I'm going to do a 90-day thing and then I'm going to do another 90-day thing. But it's all just methodologies and practices. And it doesn't have to be like you said, well, pay the lowest credit card off first. That's beside the point. It's fixing your behaviors. Would you say that you work more with women on behavioral changes versus, hey, this is what you do first. You've got to pay off the lowest credit card first. You've got to not have any debt. You've got to get on a budget. Is it more behavioral versus tactical at first?
Yeah, I think so. And a lot of times women will come to me and they want to, you know, have those practical steps first. And so then I say like, okay, let's just have a session where we go over that. But I always incorporate the other stuff because that's where they really sit there and you can see, you know, the look on their face when you say something like, well, let's talk about what that recent big purchase meant to you. Like, how did that make you feel? And they're like, what the hell? Like, I just wanted that repayment plan, you know? But then they leave really feeling like, okay, yeah, the next time I'm going to go buy something, I really need to think more about like what this really means to me. What is this doing for my life? And how is adding this monthly payment going to affect me in the long run versus just not buying it or buying a cheaper option. And so a lot of times, like, you know, it ends up either they want that practical advice at first and then they come back and say, you know what, let's talk about the behavioral stuff because I really am having a hard time sticking to this plan. Or sometimes they recognize the importance of the behavioral first. And so then that's where we do the full coaching and we don't get into like actual numbers for 3 or 4 weeks because we're just talking about values and money beliefs to start. But a lot of times it's easier if I give them the practical tips right away, because then they sometimes people need that to see the value in the coaching.
You said values, you know, and I think what, as you were explaining that with that last answer, what was going through my head is, and this was seriously like just an enlightenment while you were talking, is I think about myself and I was never, ever thinking about my long-term future. Ever. I remember I would see things where they're like, you have to save for retirement. And I've had so many different 401ks and mutual funds that I've started. And when I would leave that job, I would take it out and I would spend it. I spent every tax return. I would never take. And I think there has to be something to be said about women like me. And I know there's a lot of others out there who aren't even able to face long-term future. They're only thinking about the right now. And it can be very empowering when suddenly you say, I am in charge of my future. My future is going to be great. And I'm the one responsible for that foundation. You know, it drives me crazy. That's a whole other topic, to see women who are like, well, I'm just going to find a boyfriend or a girlfriend or daddy. And that just literally, don't even get me started. I mean, women, have more respect for yourself. We are in a day and age where you can earn money. You don't have to be a millionaire. You can make a lot of money and contribute to the world and be proud of yourself. Stop counting on somebody else to pay your bills. So I love what you said about values, because I do think it's just like weight loss. You can say, okay, we're recording this in February 2019. The keto diet's really big. You know, if you're somebody mm-hmm. who's tried to lose weight 17 times over the past 2 or 3 years and you see keto come up, you're like, okay, this is it. I'm going to do keto. Great. If you haven't fixed what's making you always gain weight and always rebound, keto's not going to do it for you. Weight Watchers isn't going to do it for you. Look at someone like Oprah Winfrey. It's been repetitive that she's kept having to go back and find something new to help her lose the weight. You've got to figure out those underlying problems.
Right. So it's all emotional problems.
Exactly. And I think money is a huge emotional thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, they say that the number one or the number two problem in marriages is money. And then when they break that down, one of those is, actually, they talked about this at my church one time. They were saying something to the degree of 40 to 60%. Of course, that's a big range. I don't remember the specifics of spouses are lying to their other spouse about how much money they spend. And it is one of the top sources of stress and divorce is, you know, people spending and being embarrassed and keeping that. So right. Becoming more empowered, dealing with your emotional issues, not being ashamed of what you do, and that's key. It's not just tactics. It's the bigger picture. So I love that you're addressing that. And this interview is fantastic because I know that it's going to help a lot more. I think it's, ladies, if you understand that there's, first of all, that you're extremely not alone in having mm-hmm. money issues. Everybody, what's the number one most embarrassing thing that can happen to us? Somebody either asking us, what's your credit score? If you know it's not good, or or you go to use your credit card and it's declined, right? Yeah. I just was listening to Sell It Like Sirhan, the audiobook, and he was talking about the single most embarrassing moment of his life is, you know, he was at his first job and he went to go pay for groceries and his debit card was declined. He's like, humiliating. So money problems are important. You're not alone and you can fix them. So Amy, we've kind of built a really good foundation here in getting people to understand like some of these problems are very common. Having debt is common. Student loan debt is common. Getting in over your head, being kind of scared to balance your checkbook, just giving that power to somebody else, to a spouse, to a significant other. Those are bigger issues for people, because obviously this could be a topic we can have you back on the show several times to talk about. And there's so many mini sub issues below here, but for people that are listening, that are in any of these boats and probably many of these overlapping boats, they have the issues, they realize they need help. I have a couple specific questions that are more like general tips from you. Mm-hmm. And then I would love to hear you give folks that are listening, you know, hey, if they're not yet at the point where they're going to come to you or someone like you and hire you for help, you know, what are some immediate tips that you would recommend? And obviously I'm looking at your website too. We'll link up to this. At the end of the show. There's a pop-up, want free money tips and tools. So there's that. But a couple of things you mentioned during this show, and I wanted to ask you about, you mentioned, you know, somebody might have gone through debt repayment plans or they've read a Dave Ramsey book. I can't say I've gone through a debt repayment plan, but I definitely have bought all these Dave Ramsey books, not to say that he's a bad guy or whatever.
Right.
I do see a lot on TV about debt repayment, debt forgiveness. And I've always been told if it's like, when I had that problem in college where I got in over my head and was in collections and all of that, I remember there were things about fix your credit and you sign up for this fix your credit thing. And I signed up for it. And then I think it was like maybe my realtor, when I was buying my first place, they were like, oh, don't do those credit fix things because they ding your credit and they make it worse. And the whole topic of credit in and of itself, that's actually a question I have here of what exactly makes your credit score go up. There are so many conflicting rules and best practices, and it's hard to understand what to do. So I'm going to ask you what your thoughts are on debt repayment plans and or some of these things where they're like, creditfix.com, give us all your money and we'll fix, because I'm told sometimes the credit fixes, can actually make your credit score go down. What do you feel about those options?
Yeah, to me, it's always just another way of trying to like, oh, we have a quick fix for you. We're going to fix everything for you. None of your problems are real. We're going to make them go away. And it's just not true. Like, you know, yes, maybe you'll be in a successful debt repayment program, but it is also a lot of times a scam. That's, people fall victim to that a lot because there's a lot of them out there. And I think it's kind of hard to tell the difference between what's good and what's not. For me, I just think none of them are really that great if they're not solving your underlying issues. Mm-hmm. And that's because, yeah, maybe you're going to be in a debt repayment program that's 2 years and you're going to put all of this money towards paying off that credit card debt. But if you're miserable, then at the end of that 2 years, you're just going to kind of go back to your same lifestyle where you're spending more than you earn and you're not being responsible with your money. And there was a quick fix. And so now you kind of have trained your brain to know, like, the spending doesn't matter. Racking up bad debt doesn't matter because there's always going to be a way for me to fix it easily. Mm. So I think for people with, you know, when it comes to debt repayment, for me, with my clients, we always look at obviously the underlying issues first, but when we're coming up with the actual numbers, like how are they going to pay this off? We have to be realistic. Like I'm not going to tell somebody, don't go on a trip this year, put that money towards your credit card instead. I'm going to say, what else can we do to come up with money this year so that you can go on your trip and enjoy your life and not feel like you're missing out while also paying off that credit card debt? And so it's just a matter of balancing it, like not like making sure people are not miserable, but also being responsible about their debt.
That's really smart. And that's actually, it's funny because I'm always finding parallels and metaphors to be able to explain things. But I remember one of the earlier guests on our podcast, this is a fitness analogy, but he's like, you know, you can either diet and keep detracting the amount of calorie. If you want to lose weight, right, you can keep cutting what you eat. Mm-hmm. Or why not just, if you want to eat more, work out more, you know, right. Kind of what you're saying, sensibly speaking, right? It doesn't.
Yeah. Or eat healthier foods. So it's kind of like spend money on the things that are really important to you. So that when it comes time to make a decision on like, okay, should I put these new shoes on my credit card? Well, no, like look at all these other things I could be doing instead. And that's where like we talk about values a lot, like what debt is okay to build up. There's, you know, good debt versus bad debt. And a lot of times the good debt are things that align with your values and what's really important to you.
Yeah. And another parallel, I will say this, there's risk taking in business and in mm-hmm. life, right? And in my business, I've had to learn the fine line between taking a calculated risk and a foolish risk or an impetuous risk, right? So there's things where I say, okay, you know what? My new business is growing. It's scaling. I'm going to invest this money and I'm going to do it because I've thought about it and I'm not being impulsive and I believe it's going to pay off and I'm going to work hard to justify the fact that I'm investing this money. That's a calculated risk. Same mm-hmm. thing here. And I think I'm starting to better understand why it's important to understand your values, because you can have your starting values when you realize your values suck. Which is what's gotten you to where you're in a money shithole, right?
Yeah.
And then you adjust your values so that as you're making your purchasing decisions, you say, is this in alignment with my values? Like, am I buying this for no reason? Am I buying this suit and new pair of shoes because I just want another one? Do I really need it? Or is it that, hey, I've got a really important meeting and my other shoes are scuffed and this makes sense and I'm going to go work that much harder, but this suit's going to make me... Like, that's a calculated spend versus... you know, being, you know, hastening back to your old values. So I love that you brought that up. I want to ask you another maybe follow-up question when it comes to credit scores and credit. And a lot of this is for me based on my past, because I've been up and down. I'm one of those people who on your website paid down all my debt, then got in over my head with, it's usually business related and, mm-hmm. and then I pay it down. And then, you know, so I know there's a lot of people who are going to want to start taking steps, and many of them will want to be attacking credit debt with credit cards. Now, I still believe that there are all of these different rules because I've been told rules from my realtor when I'm buying a house. I've been told rules from my car, you know, folks, when I'm applying for financing with them. I've been told that your credit score is better when you have a lot of credit cards, but not a lot of stuff on the credit cards. And then there's some people who will advise you and say, don't have any credit cards. And some people will say, don't, if you have no credit cards, you have no credit history. Then I have some people say, you know, don't open up more credit cards. Each time you open up more credit cards, that makes your credit score go down. And it kind of makes you feel as a consumer completely powerless to control your credit score, which is so important in this day and age with all things in regards to financing or just financial in general topics. What is, is there like a source or a general rule of thumb when it comes to having credit cards in general, carrying debt in general, and how that has an impact on your credit score?
Yeah, I think in general, you want to be making the minimum payments. You don't ever want to miss payments. That's a big ding on your credit score if you miss that. I think too, people make the mistakes of closing accounts a lot because they don't want to be using their credit cards. And so it's always better just to be like, you know, maybe cut up that card or give it to your partner to hide to somewhere. Because if you close an account that either you've had for a long time or that has a big available balance on it, that can also hurt your credit score too.
I want to make sure.
Oh, go ahead. No, I'm sorry.
So you're saying if you like pay off a bunch of credit cards and mm-hmm. you don't close them, like that's a good thing, or closing them is the bad thing? Or I did not make sure. I want to make sure I'm understanding. Say you have 6 credit cards and you say, I'm only going to use this primary one and all the rest I'm not going to use anymore. Are you saying it's best to keep those accounts open and just put the actual credit cards in your drawer and not use them because that shows you have a lot of available credit? Or is it good to
shut
the accounts down?
Yeah, that one, that you want to have that credit utilization ratio good, which shows the total amount of credit you have available. So even if you have those cards that have, you know, balances on them that you're not using, it's good to be able to say, okay, I have this amount available, I'm just not using it. Okay. It's also a lot of times people close the card that maybe they've spent the most money on, and so they close it kind of in an attempt to like just not have that card available to them. But if that's the oldest card on your, you know, on your credit report, then you just hurt your credit score again by closing it, because you want to show that you have credit that's old, I guess, that you want to have accounts that have been open for a long time. Hmm. So I always think it's safer. I mean, I'm not an expert in credit, to be honest. I don't usually, with people, we just look at it naturally flows through that their credit improves because they're doing things like paying off bad debt and making good monthly payments. Are in meeting their minimum payments, but I know that just from experience too, that these are some things that where people make mistakes.
Okay. And I would say, this is a piggyback. Would you say in general, I think I know your answer, but I don't think attacking debt and becoming savvy with money is necessarily that. Do you encourage your clients that they need to never have credit cards?
No, I do not encourage that. I actually, I guess most of the clients that I end up working with already have credit cards. So that's not an issue, because we just say, okay, if you need to learn how to use your credit cards responsibly, then we'll take a break. We'll do like a credit card spending freeze, or like you'll only use your debit card for something, or you'll only use credit cards for specific things. But for the most part, I think credit cards and credit was created so that people could build their personal growth and kind of pay for it later when their means are higher than they are now.
Okay.
If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But when people end up using credit for the wrong reasons, that's when we have to backtrack and say, okay, maybe credit isn't working for you right now. Let's kind of figure out a way that we can teach you to be responsible with it, and then you can use it again. So for me personally, that's what I went through, is that I had to get rid of a lot of my credit cards because I wasn't a good user of credit cards whatsoever. And it was just way too easy for me to be using them and building up debt and then paying it off all at once. And so it just wasn't something that I was able to do. But today I have a credit card and I use my credit card for everything. And then I pay it off, you know, right away I pay off that balance. And so that's where I think people can learn to be responsible with it. I don't think everybody has to get rid of their credit cards.
Yeah. And that's really a good point. And I will say too, there certainly has been a lot of ups and downs in my business life. I talked to you about that offline before the show. And mm-hmm. There were many, many times, and this is again, people, where it's really important for you to get, you know, I don't want to sound too touchy-feely here, but really like figure yourself out, become introspective, figure out what makes you do certain things. Because the more that you do that, you can really, that's when transformative change starts to happen. So when I started figuring out things in some very chaotic business years, I realized that my people pleaser nature, and as I mentioned to you before, my overly generous please accept me kind of personality has led me to make a lot of poor financial decisions in a business perspective and in a personal perspective. So with business, you know, I would max out my own personal credit cards to help carry our business through a tough time. And then I would not submit for reimbursement. And I was always the martyr. And, you know, I've had to suffer for that. But one thing that was really encouraging to me, and I want to say this to everybody, because I did it when I was younger in my 20s, and I've done it even recently because of some of those scenarios I just mentioned. I have gotten into a place where I had missed payments. I was in over my head, mostly for business reasons and generosity reasons and so on. And it was fascinating to me how it's sad how fast your credit score can go down, but you can also, I was very surprised how getting back on the horse, attacking it and being consistent and doing more and more each month, how fast I was able to bring, it's not as fast, you can't bring it up in my opinion, as fast as it goes down, but fast, much faster. Like I thought, oh, 2 years is going to take me 2 years. It's like 6 months. And I had, you know, more offers in the mail and yada, yada, yada. So it's very, this is what happens when you face your problems and you let your fear go. And that's what I know coaches like Amy help their clients with. So Amy, we've already talked, I think, close to an hour, and I knew it would come this long. I knew that we would be, because this is such an important topic. And I know so many women are so scared. They're in over their heads. They've lost a job. They can't pay their bills. I see it and I hear it all the time. So I'm really glad that we started this talk. And I love sharing with people that there are folks like you that can help them with so many of these issues. And that it's more of a permanent solution than, like you said, just hiring one of these, you know, quick fix credit thing for $20 a month, that it's not really changing who you are. You want lasting weight loss? You got to figure yourself out. You want lasting financial freedom and empowerment? You got to figure yourself out. So let's do this. Let's close the show, Amy, with you giving maybe three simple tips for people, like, you know how they say, what can they start doing today? What would be your tips that you tell people are really simple? It's probably going to help them. It can be whatever you want. And then when you're finished with that, tell people where they can find you online. And of course, we'll throw that in the show notes as well.
Yeah. So the number one thing I always start off by telling my clients or anybody, like in my speaking engagements, is I ask them to list their three top values. So three things that are most important to them in the world. And kind of do like a little assessment of their lives. Like, look around, see the things you've bought, look at your bank accounts, look at your bank statements. Is what you're doing with your money aligning with those values? And if it's not, make a list of things you could do right now to change it, because that's the number one way that you're going to get more confident with your money, is if you start trusting yourself to do the things that are really important to you with your money instead of just giving into temptations or what society tells you to do. The second thing I have them do is kind of what we talked about, where you go back and think about, you know, how did your parents teach you about money, is just look at those money beliefs and experiences that you've had and think about what lessons you learned from that and think about how you can turn those into positive financial actions. So for example, if you're a person that you had a scarcity mindset, and so you always just want to buy things right away because you're afraid that there won't be enough for you, think about how instead you can use that experience to start putting aside $50 a month into an account that you're not touching, and that becomes your emergency fund. So I think, you know, a lot of my go-to tips are things that are a little more emotional and behavioral.
Love it.
I also just tell people start tracking your expenses in a spreadsheet. If you're using an app like Mint or something, that's great. But if you really want to make a difference, you have to be either typing it in a spreadsheet or writing it down so that you're aware of what you're spending your money on.
That's really, and I wrote that, I'm writing a note on that, because tracking expenses, I have a feeling a lot of women are like me. I mean, I I'm past being embarrassed about sharing my flaws. Mm-hmm. I'm an open book because I just feel like the more you put it out there and you're real with yourself, the more you can get past them. But I would say the vast majority of my adult life since having, you know, getting a career, getting into a career, it's like I mentally balance my checkbook. People would always ask me, well, don't you sit down and balance your checkbook? And I'd go, no. It is empowering because when you do start taking control and being aware of money flowing in and out every day, when I really started realizing how much money I was letting go fly out of my checking account with auto debit payments for like Netflix and Hulu, when I wasn't even using them, so with tracking your money, to me, I think it's not just tracking what you're spending, but it's like being aware of what's in your checking account and being auto debited on all of your credit cards. I mean, I was looking in and I have a Capital One account and I would go in and I have an automatic savings thing with them where it deducts $100 every 2 weeks and it puts that into a savings account. And then I started seeing that I was getting debited for $5 here, $25 here, $100 here. And when I looked in, I mean, these were just random fees. And when I called Capital One, they were awesome. They're like, okay, well, we'll take those away because they wanted to keep my business. But I hadn't been paying. And you guys, I was probably getting charged an extra $50 a month for years. And so tracking, I think it's just as important as well to like not look at just what you're spending with your cash in your wallet, but as well, if you're like me and mentally balancing your checkbook, don't do that anymore. Do you agree?
Yeah, you can't. Oh, yeah, you can't avoid it. Avoiding it is only going to make it worse.
Avoidance has been my middle name.
Yes. I think that's how we all get into this mess, too, because we start avoiding it and then it's just kind of like it gets overwhelming and it's that never ending cycle.
Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you just made me think one of the things that I did for my business, my other business originally was, you know, kind of doing an audit of everything that was being spent historically with people that used to work for me because they were spending too much money. And I did an audit and I was like, oh my God, you know, when I saw what our burn rate was, it was crazy. And cutting out all of the often overlapping expenses. So for all of you entrepreneurs out there, you know, and you're in the blog related fields, it was like paying for Canva and PicMonkey and Lightroom. And it's like, wait, don't all these things visually edit photos? And then you could go into, you know, so many other things, automated tools, right? Like HubSpot and, you know, Buffer and this and that. So cutting those things down and then being able to look and go, okay, this is how much it costs me from a business perspective to run my business. And just like you said, tracking your expenses to go, to have in your mind, here's how much money I make every month. Here's how much money I'm putting out. It might surprise you to go, wow, I really only have an extra $500. That's $125 a week. Like it will help you have much more of a context in your spending when you actually know what your budget is for your business and for yourself. Right. Knowledge is power. I interrupted you.
No, that's so okay.
I'll let you finish and then tell people where they can find you as well.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I do have tips on my website, on my blogs. I try to give, my blogs are a little lengthy sometimes because I try to give people like, you know, as if this were a coaching session, like what can you do? And so my website is smartgirlmoneycoach.com. I'm also on Instagram a lot, just at Smart Girl Money. And so I try to post useful tips and things as well as like thoughtful, like how, you know, what behavioral changes need to be made.
Awesome. Well, we of course will link that up in the show notes and I highly encourage you. I think long blog posts are great. I mean, it certainly is a talent of mine. Everybody that knows me can joke, like I'm notorious for writing 7-page emails, leaving very long box messages for my assistant. But the truth is, I mean, in this day and age with the website and blog environment as it is, that's what people really favor. It's like, I'm not here to read a fluffy post about avocados being good for healthy fats.
Right.
I want a deep dive understanding of why cortisol is bad for my, you know, the fat around my waist. So I love that you're providing value there. And I definitely recommend everybody who's listening, go to her site. If you have any of these problems, you are going to find this to be a welcome relief. And also sign up for sure for her free money tips and tools. I know I'm going to be subscribing after the show. I'm surprised I didn't already. So I will be doing that. We will link up everything we talked about today in the show notes. And if you have any questions on this episode, feel free to to email us, podcast@fitfluential.com. You can also use that email if you're interested in nominating someone to be on the show, or if you want to inquire about future advertising rates. Of course, we encourage, if you have questions for Amy, to connect with her directly on social media. She's fantastic. But until next time, thank you all so much for tuning in to FitFluential Radio. We'll see you next time. Hey, everybody. I hope you enjoyed this two-part episode with Amy Schultz, Smart Girl Money Coach. We'll have everything located for you in the show notes over at fitfluentialradio.com. I hope you guys are subscribed on Stitcher and or iTunes. And we would love it if you have been listening to our show for a while and really are benefiting and enjoying the episodes. We'd love it if you would share our FitFluential Radio podcast with your friends on social media. The more that we can spread the word and get folks subscribing to our show, the more lives we're going to impact with this free information. You guys know this is a passion of mine. Once you understand that there are more things that contribute to fitness and to health and wellness and the quality of our life than just how many calories we burn and whether we're paleo or vegan. When you understand there's so many other things, when you understand the bigger picture, you realize why I'm doing all of this, why we're spending all of the time and money we do to produce this show so that we can help you all understand and become more informed so you can be a stronger advocate for your own health. So you can push back at the doctor and ask more questions. You can make better choices at the grocery store and choose the right supplements and so on and so forth and get the right kind of doctor. All of this stuff adds up. So we would really love it if you would share the show on social media with your friends. And certainly it would make a huge difference to us as well in a positive way if you would leave a review for us on iTunes. Reviews are what help shows get seen by more audiences and recommended. And we would, again, love to have our show be seen and heard by more folks so that we can spread the word and help more folks get better health for themselves, and better health for their families. We'd really appreciate it. If you have any questions on this episode, or if you would like to inquire about advertising rates, or to recommend somebody that we interview for a future episode, email us, podcast@fitfluential.com. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you next time on FitFluential Radio.